All right, let's get started this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 is going to be our main passage. Brian, if you'll get that for us. Ephesians 4, 15. Luke 22, 37 through 39. Preston, if you'll get that. Luke 22, 37 through 39. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Daniel Swope, if you'll get that. Luke 14, 15, Micah Rees, if you'll get that for us. 1 Timothy 1, 5, IL, if you'll get that. Okay, one of the difficulties pastors can face is declaring the truth or telling the truth. And that might sound surprising or shocking in some way, that why wouldn't a pastor declare or tell the truth? And so I want to open that up first. Why do you think that's the case? It would be difficult for a man of God to tell or declare the truth. Yeah, Sam?
What I'm thinking is like they want to keep the church happy. They want to tell people what they want to hear.
Okay. Yeah, people pleasing would be one of those. Absolutely, Brian. Okay, they're afraid to offend people. Yeah, Micah?
They're afraid to lose something.
To lose something, yeah. So what does that tell us about truth then? Those would be reasons why. So then what does that teach us about truth? Yeah, Daniel?
It is like cutting. It is.
Okay, good. It's cutting sometimes, right? It's not fun sometimes, yeah? It can be offensive to someone's preferences or opinions, right? Yeah, Brian?
It's objective, it's from without, it's not something that we decide.
Okay, yeah, so it's not something we've decided, it's objective, it comes from without. So absolutely, all of those are true and good, you're thinking. And so yeah, number one, truth is difficult to hear sometimes, right? Sometimes you read the Word of God and the Bible's honest. The Bible says that the Bible is like a mirror, and sometimes you see, so it can be difficult to hear. It can be conflicting to what we want or what we're desiring. It can offend us because it's speaking something about us, about ourselves. It's challenging. It's costly. I think that goes back to what Micah said, is you might lose something. Yeah, truth sometimes costs. So, pastors can struggle with declaring the truth. But in the passage we're going to look at, we see some keys for declaring the truth successfully. That's what I want to look at this morning. Ephesians 4, 15.
No, speaking the truth with love, we will grow in every way into Christ, who is the head.
Okay, speaking the truth with love, we will grow. Okay, so let's talk firstly about the need for love. The foundation for declaring truth, it actually starts in you. And what we need first is a love for God. You've got to establish that first and foremost. That I love God, I want to please God. That means I'm going to want to do what God wants me to do. That's the foundation for declaring truth. Then, as a result of your love for God, you can develop a love for people. Let's read Luke 22, 37 through 39.
It is written, as he was numbered with the transgressors, and to tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, it is written about me. This is...
Okay. Great, great one. Sorry, that may be my mistake. The scripture I'm looking for is, maybe it was 29. Yeah, definitely my error there. So we'll find it here in a second. But he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor. So this is the foundation for love. I love God. That's the first foundation. Then Jesus says, what flows out of that is loving your neighbor. So this is the foundation and requirement first. Pastor Greg has often taught what men of God need is a love for people and a passion for souls. Because that's something we have to ask God for. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come for most people automatic. We have to ask God for it. But that heart foundation, it equips us to declare the truth. Not only that, it changes our perspective. When we have a love for God that flows into a love for people, it changes our perspective about the sting of truth that might be at work. It changes our perspective of, oh, no, that's too difficult. That's too costly. That's too intense. I don't want to offend, etc. It changes you from that to, no, because I love you, I will tell you the truth. Because I love you, I'm going to do what is right, tell you what God says in His Word, challenge where your true condition is at, etc., etc. Because I love you, I will tell you the truth. Let's read Proverbs 27 in verse 6.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
Okay, faithful are the wounds of a friend, or another translation, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Right? Sometimes, again, our friends, those around us, those should be the ones that can tell us the truth. We need people in our lives that can tell us the truth, but then also in pastoring, we need to be able to tell other people the truth. So if you are struggling to say the truth in maybe marriage, you're struggling to say the truth with your children in parenting, or you get pastors, they're struggling to tell the truth to their disciples, or sitting with people that you're counseling. You have men that will struggle to tell the truth, or even in preaching. You get these guys that they'll preach a sermon and everything's constantly, this is what the Bible says, but on the other hand, and then if you, but also, and trying to explain everything. You know, declare the truth. Just say it. Just speak it. But the issue, if you're struggling, it may be that you need a revelation and an understanding of love. Right? That's what our scripture is talking about, declaring the truth, but the foundation in love. Let's read Luke 14 in verse 15. All right, I'm double checking that. Yeah, man, what happened here? So, two typos in one lesson. So the rapture's coming soon. So, what I'm looking for is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So, love motivates us to make hard decisions of truth. That's what it does. It's a motivator. If you love me, you'll do what I say, Jesus says. If you love me, you'll honor my word. If you love me, you'll put my word above other things, above other people, right? This is one of the difficulties when you're navigating rebellion, when you're navigating people that want to backslide or pull other people down. You're telling people, they're not healthy for you. Yeah, but they're my friend. Yeah, but they're my family. Yeah, but they're my... Okay, but Jesus said, if you love me, it's more important you're helping them with the truth than going around truth to try to appease or smooth over things. No, love motivates us to make the hard decisions. Love is a motivator for the hard decisions of truth. Okay, that is healthy when that's at work. So let's look secondly at truth in love. So speaking the truth is needed. That has to be at work in us. But equally important is how we communicate the truth. Right? I've had people, you know, whether that be in, you know, the upstate, northeast area, you know, it's one of those things they pride themselves. We just tell it like it is. So you need thick skin. And you know what? There's an element that's helpful to that, but there is also an element that's not helpful to that, right? Or people that never tell the truth or never say certain things. Again, that can be healthy sometimes, but more often than not, that is unhealthy. So how you communicate it matters. I remember years ago, a pastor was struggling. And people would say, he's rude, he's insensitive, he's, you know, all these other things. So, okay, but you deal with them, and but that's just how I am. I just tell it like it is. I'm just direct. Sure, but you're killing everybody. Right? So there has to be a tension. And what, like I said, it starts with a love for God, which gives you a love for people that says, I'm willing to tell you the truth, but how I tell you the truth is equally important. How I communicate it is equally important. Verse 15 of our passage says, speaking the truth with love. With love. You can say the same truth multiple ways. There's more than one way to say it. Now, some, they don't use tact and, you know, say things that are hurtful or harmful or destructive or criticizing or insulting. But you can say the same truth with love, right? You can say it in a way that they can digest what you've just fed them, right? That they can take it and process it. Pastor Greg has taught us, you need to think about what people need. And sometimes the truth, sometimes they need a rebuke. In truth, sometimes they need a course correction. The tone must be sharp. But other times, they need the truth with encouragement. They need perspective. What you're doing is harmful. This is where it leads, right? It depends on what the person is needing. There's some people, they struggle with rejection. Every constructive criticism, every course correction, every, anything that would you would speak that would be directive or instructive in some way or even corrective, because they struggle with rejection, they see everything as rejection. And so you have to factor that in when declaring the truth, because you can really lose someone otherwise. Are they going through a difficult season? Right? Sometimes people are doing things that are harmful or maybe even out of character. But when you go to speak the truth to them in love, you realize and recognize, wait a second, they're dealing with loss. You know, maybe this stuff is grief more than it is malicious intent, right? They're dealing with sickness. Maybe more of this is fear than it is that they want to destroy you and the church, right? You have to see where people are coming from. Are they hurting? You know what? They're going through an incredibly difficult season in their marriage. This is more, they're mad at their spouse than they're mad at you. So if you can see those things, you can then learn how to speak the truth with love. Now, don't get me wrong. The truth has to be said. That's part of it sometimes. It just has to be done, whether they're in a difficult season or not, whether they struggle with rejection or not. That doesn't mean you never tell someone the truth because I don't want to offend them, because I don't want to lose them. again, it has to be said, but you can say it a certain way. You got to think through, how should this be done? How should I package this truth? So this goes back to the need for love again. If my premise is love, then I will have the sense and the skill to deliver it well. I'll be able to, if I can keep that awareness, that love, I'll be able to communicate what needs to be said successfully. And this comes back to some people skills. These are abilities, people skills are abilities that enable effective and positive interactions with others. Right? Is I can be effective, make my goal, help them see, help them understand, help them course correct. Right? If my premise is love, I'll be effective, but it will also be positive. Okay, I've watched my pastor, I've sat in meetings with him that were going to be confrontational because they had to be, right? And again, there's maybe some things that point to a certain attitude or heart or, you know, things that are destructive. And, you know, he's talked to me about, this is how I'm intending on dealing with this, intending. But when you get into the meeting, I've watched him go from this point to the tone and everything shift this way, because it's not what I thought it might have been, or it's not fully what was being said or communicated, but I've watched him course correct, and I've watched people leave who maybe came in defensive or ready to fight, and I've watched them leave in, you know, grateful. He's praying for them. Things completely shifted and altered because it comes back to love. And what do people need? Then you've got to know, in dealing with people, what do they need? In other words, how do they get it? Right? Do they need truth direct? Right? I learn people. If I'm working new with people, I learn, okay, clearly they need everything directly spelled out. If I give them a task or instructions, they're like, you know, those old books, Amelia Bedelia. They're like literal in their brain, and they're just going to do it exactly like you said, without filling in all the other gaps. It's like, okay, but did you do this? Well, no, you didn't say to. But did you think of it? Like, so, but you learn, okay, I've got to, in essence, I've got to babysit them. And that's okay. That's just their level and where they're at. They need truth very direct, very clear, very bite-sized. That's how it works. But there's others, again, they need truth sandwiched. They need direction sandwiched. Hey, you're doing a great job. This was negative, but keep doing a great job. You make them a sandwich of something positive, the negative, and then the positive. But that's just knowing people. How do they respond better? How are they going to receive it? Others, there might be a list of things that need to be dealt with, but I don't have to deal with it all at once. In fact, many times that's unwise, but I can deal with one issue at a time, and we can slowly get things resolved. They need truth in bite-sized pieces. The mistake many men make is they'll deliver the truth, number one, either it's all cookie cutter. You get truth in this shape, no matter who you are, no matter your age, no matter your background. Okay? The problem with cookie cutter truth is that it will only land or help people that fit that one category, that one personality type, that one people group. And what you do is you narrow down your effectiveness. Or the mistakes other men make is they demand. They give truth, but then they make demands on people. Or they give truth and they give them ultimatums. Right? If you ever, then, and it's an ultimatum. Or you have men that use fear in every situation. If I just put fear into them, I'll fear them into doing right. Or they make it insulting. every conversation is an insult and how dumb and stupid you are. They're not going to, people aren't going to respond to that. Or every conversation is anger and blow up every single time. It doesn't, everybody gets one emotion. I'll tell you again, those are not helpful. It has to be done, but how will they hear the message the best? 1 Timothy 1:5.
The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with the love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, a genuine faith.
Okay, the purpose of our instruction, his passage says, or another translation, the goal. Paul says the goal of our instruction, what we're teaching you, is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. This is the goal. This is what we're aiming at. It's not truth for just truth's sake. It's not correction for just correction's sake. It's not, no, the goal of what we're telling you, the goal of what I'm teaching you, it's coming out of love, from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. There's no ulterior motive here. It's not about my pride. It's not about my ego. It's not about me. It's about you and what you need. So you will help yourself greatly when you deliver truth where people can receive it. Okay, you will help yourself if you can deliver it where they can receive it. Where does this work out the most? This works out the most in marriage. Okay, men, you, and Pastor Stephen, I think, spoke to this last week. Men, you need to learn how to communicate to your wife. I've communicated things to men, you know, and challenged them on things, and then they go and tell their wife in a way that is completely either incorrect or just not appropriate, right? And then I get a wife come to me, "You told my husband," and you say, you need to learn how to communicate to your wife. That is very important. How you speak to her, how you tell her the truth, how you lead her in truth. And you know what? It's unique for every wife. Again, dwell with your wives with understanding. That's the word understanding has to do with academia. It is like going to college. Get a degree in understanding your wife. And you know what? You can't do not say things like, "Well, Pastor Jesse and his wife," "Well, Pastor Greg and his wife," you're going to die. Okay? You may take principles that are truth-based, but you have to apply those principles to your home. And it's going to come, and it's going to look very different. So this is one of the ways, men, in marriage, that you're gonna learn how to communicate with people, right? If every time you come into conversation with your wife, and maybe every time you have to work out a problem, or you have to resolve a conflict, or you have to deal with your kids, and you wind up on polar opposite ends and in a fight, that's a message, that's feedback. You don't know how to communicate. You gotta work on that, okay? This also works out in ministry, right? Speaking the truth in love. Truth is going to come up in ministry when we're working together with people. There's going to be people that grade on you. There's going to be people that their opinion is different than yours. And learning how to communicate and work that out is how you can learn how to develop speaking the truth in love. Right? I remember years ago being in a band, being a band leader. And I remember this story where now Pastor Tim Miller, there was a lot of neighborhood outreaches going on Friday nights. We practiced on Friday nights, okay? And so he said, "I want to go to these neighborhood outreaches and support them." And I said, "Well, but our practice is on Friday. And, you know, what we're doing is also ministry." And he's like, "Yeah, but I want to go support a lot of healing crusades going on and different things in neighborhoods." So I said, well, we're going to do practice as normal, and then you can go after, right? So now my pride's a little bit in it. Maybe his pride's a little bit in it. And so we go into practice, and we're jamming, we're rocking, working through our tracks and all that. And mid-song, Tim takes off his guitar, and he starts unpacking it, you know, putting it away and packing it up.
What?
And I said, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to the outreach. And this whole blow-up happens right there, right? Awkward in front of everyone. And so now there's this tension, right? And there's this whole thing going on. You know, I could have handled that much better. I could have heard the message from the beginning. I could have not made the scene there in front of everyone and embarrass him, right? And as he's packing it up, you know, I'm making it now personal, right? Oh, you're packing up. You know what? One day you're going to need help, and you're not going to have the help you need. You're right, and it's getting all tense and heated for no reason, right? And so after that, right, we all wind up going to the outreach. I'm in a funk. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. It's like, you know what? This is stupid. This is where we should be. This is stupid, meaning this is stupid, right? And so that same night, I apologized to him. I apologized to the band for my outburst. And I said, this is where we should be. And every time there's a neighborhood outreach, we'll try to get to practice a little earlier so we can get done earlier so we can come and be part of this. Right? And so I learned, right, there was some truth that needed to be done. There were some things that needed to be said. But I went about it the wrong way. The complete wrong way. You learn how to speak the truth in love in ministry, right? That is a story that I can reference, but you know what? I've seen that story play out how many times and how many churches? Because this is how we learn this. What you want to do is inspire people. Pastor Greg teaches inspiration. Inspire people to do right. And many times you'll inspire them when you speak the truth in love. So let's close. Let's talk about growing in Christ. So the hope and goal of declared truth is that people will grow in God. That's what we want. Again, our passage says, speaking the truth with love, we will grow up in every way into Christ. That's what should be happening. And when we do declare it in love, that's the result. We grow into Christ. So when we gain a heart for God and a heart for people, we will be able to help people step into greater revelation. By speaking the truth in love, we'll be able to help people step into greater ministry, greater calling, because we came alongside them and told them the truth in a way they could receive it. And in a way they could apply it. Years ago, I spoke with a man that was involved in ministry, and he was consuming all sorts of entertainment, right? And in numbers of ways, violating the vows of exampleship. So I challenged him. I told him the truth. I told him the truth in love. I told him about his potential. I told him about what this looks like in the future. Your children are little today. One day they're going to be teenagers. One day they're going to be adult. This, you're setting a course for them. And I gave him the truth in love. I gave him inspiration. I want you to be involved. I want you to be part of what we're doing. But this course you're going, it's not compatible. It is not workable. We're going in two different directions. So I want to pray for you, and I want you to work out what you would like to do, right? And again, I've given him truth, but it's in love. He made some radical decisions. He changed some things in his home and in his spiritual life, and he started to become discipled. Today, he's pastoring in Lynn, Massachusetts. It's Anthony Cassio. A couple weeks back, they had 38 in service. Yesterday, he did some renewals for a couple, vow renewals for their marriage. They got saved. They've been together however long. They wanted in salvation to do some renewed vows. He did that yesterday. Had over, I think, 100 in his church that he was able to preach to, right? But that's the hope of truth and love. And he's referenced that when I challenged him but gave him the truth in love. It wasn't insulting. It wasn't fear-driven. It wasn't blow-up and outburst of anger. It wasn't whatever, right? And again, you've got to know what people need. In that moment, that's one of those stories where, you know what? That's the joy of the truth being spoken in love. All right, let's open it up for some questions about this. Something you want to ask?
What's a great passage to start with when it comes to the Bible for redirection and reconnection.
I'm sorry, to what?
When it comes to the Bible.
Oh, to reconnecting with the Bible. Oh, okay. Yeah. Very good question. Okay. You could ask, or you could pray Psalms, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you." So what David is saying there is, I put your word in me, and that's going to be protective in when I'm encountered in temptation, when I'm encountered with frustration, when I'm encountered. So God, that's what I want, the word to be hidden in my heart, and give me an appetite for that. Right? Yeah, good. Yes, Caleb.
Speaking the truth, it seems to me it's also connected with knowing who you are in God as well.
Absolutely, yes. You're absolutely right, which goes back to the mistakes that some men make, where it's demands, ultimatums, fear, insults, anger, etc. More of that has to do with what's in them than what the other person is actually dealing with or needing truth declared on, right? Men make it about their pride or their ego. You're doing this and you're making me look bad, right? So again, yes, to your question, yeah, many times those negative responses are more about what's happening in us. We actually haven't worked out our rejection, right? The whole band story, that's really where that was coming out of, was rejection and pride more than anything else. Yep. Good. Yeah, Phil.
Is this something that you have to, like, get good at, speaking the truth in love, or is it more of, like, something is inside you that needs to, like, you need to repent, and then there's a shift, and then you just kind of naturally, by the Spirit of God, now you're doing it well.
Well, yeah, again, as I said in the beginning there, Pastor Greg has often taught what we need is a love for people and a passion for souls. So you're asking God for that. When that begins, because you're asking God, that's a prayer he wants to answer, and he gets to work in your life. And then you begin to realize as he's working out your rejection, and as he, you know, you're working with people, you're learning things. Those are feedbacks, right?
Yeah.
That whole story, that was a feedback. Now, was that the only hiccup I've ever had? No, there's tons of them, right? But I got to get feedback. That's happened in marriage. That's happened in parenting, right? Where, so frustrated, you turn insulting rather than helping. Right? And my wife has said, or I've even recognized, and I've apologized. You know what? That was unacceptable. That was insulting to you. And that's not how I feel. And I take responsibility for that. Right? So that works out. Marriage, parenting, that can work out in other ministries. Right? Just different ways in which that can work out. But you got to be responsive to the feedback. That's the difference maker. And that's what will help you get better.
Okay. And then, If you're analyzing and you're seeing that you're not doing a good job at certain things, of, you know, you're not saying a certain thing in love, you know, for example, with the spouse, you know, you said something and you're like later, you know, realize, oh, I don't know why I said it like that, or I should have told her privately, whatever. Like, is that, I just feel like sometimes those moments happen where you just kind of speak, you know,
yep.
Before you even think.
Yep. But, so you course correct by apologizing. right? I shouldn't have said it that way. I shouldn't have done that in front of your family or whatever, right? All these different ways in which it plays out. And then you pray, God, help me in the future,
yeah.
Right? Equip me. And again, many times it comes back to pausing, right? If we can pause, and when you have a love for God and a love for people, what happens is you're thinking about what they need. You're taking the time. Many times we're just responding. Yeah. We're like rodents, you know, and it's all just instinct. Ah, danger, react,
yeah.
Yell, you know. So, no, you got to slow down and process what's going on so that you can answer appropriately or work through what the actual need or issue is. Yeah. Yep.
Is it incorrect perspective to in speaking truth only when you're asked?
Speaking truth only when you're asked, meaning... like if you're pastoring and if a disciple asks or someone asks a question, is that...
Well, kind of, I don't know if it's an incorrect perspective, but speaking truth, this is how I view it, is only for people who are in leadership.
No, not necessarily. No, because this would apply all across the board, Tony. So if you're saying, I don't tell the truth unless my kids ask, like... No, that would be incorrect. You know, I don't tell the truth unless my wife asks, or I don't tell the truth unless a sinner asks, hey, what must I do to be saved? Well, let me tell you the truth, right? So I'm not sure I'm fully understanding the question. So I think to say, is it incorrect to think what you're asking? Yes, as a whole. But there are times where truth timing, when it's declared or when it's told, timing is a factor, sure, that can be possible, where you need to consider, right? So I've known I needed to deal with things, okay? I have to deal with this, but they just had surgery yesterday, right? That would not be helpful. Hey, I know you're recovering from surgery, but I want to talk about, you know, so there is timing in certain things of when it's appropriate to tell the truth or not, you know? But I can't give every possible scenario there. Yeah. So it would be incorrect to think that. Only if they ask you, do you say it? Yeah.
I think you might have answered it mostly with Bill's question, but what does it look like to understand how people need to be given truth?
Mm-hmm.
More based on the relationship?
Yes. Yes, that's a good question, Micah. How do you know? You learn. Again, I learn people. So if I give someone, like I said, a task and I see they literally only did, or if I say something like, yes, go for it, do that, and then, let's say this, yes, go for it, and then I follow up with them, hey, did you do? Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to do it. Okay, to me, yes, go for it meant you go for it, but they understood, yes, go for it, like, we're going to go for it, and you're going to do the work. So that just helps me learn. The future, I will tell them, okay, this is what you need to do. And I will put that on them, right? One of the things I used to have a hard time doing is I would say, you know what we should do is, and it sounds a little more soft, you know what we should do, but again, what I'm saying is, we should do this. And then they're like, well, you're kind of more in charge in this one, so we means you, right? So I've had to work on that. You know what you need to do is, if I'm putting that on them, okay? So yeah, you learn people. And sometimes you're only going to learn through mistakes or things not getting done, right? And so that is how you can develop that, Micah. Yep. Yeah.
So, for example, like you, pastor, many of our pastors, preaching truth to a larger congregation, they can be very direct in preaching truth because there's so many people. So to help even like a pioneer pastor that would be out, and he's got 10, you know, somebody knows he's pointing right at them. So how would they declare that truth to make it go to everybody, even to 50 or 80?
Sure.
You know, how would that look?
Yeah, and again, you know, you're often pulling principles, right, out of the Word of God. They're principles that apply. So at the end of the day, big group or small group, preaching is personal, right? It's individual. So even in this lesson, I've declared something, but everybody has received the message, but a little bit different, right? Because God speaks to the people individually. I can remember things that spoke to me as a disciple or as a new convert in the church, and it spoke to me differently than it spoke to my wife, than it spoke to my friends, than it spoke to people I was serving in ministry with. Like, we talk, oh man, that sermon. And then, like, we're bringing up different parts of it because God speaks to the individual. Yeah. So yeah, unless you're doing, you know, just like our guy Brian here, you're all, you know, unless you're doing that as a whole, you're declaring principles, right? But then declaring truth will come down to the individual too, meaning in individual conversations, how you package that truth, right? Yeah, good. Good, any other questions? I'm declaring the truth. Yes, Phil.
I was thinking about maybe like a new pastor, pioneer pastor who's developing, has some disciples, so he's, you know, guys he's working with. But I know my own personality, for example, where I can get to the point where I might be like controlling. Maybe it's rejection. I don't know what, you know, I'm working that out. But I can see a person maybe trying to direct someone, you know, we need this done. And maybe the person isn't really getting it, you know. And so you want to bring correction or direction, but maybe that person's not there yet. And maybe I'm giving you too many hypotheticals, but I'm trying to figure out how this person would handle the situation without, you know, still being giving love and like grace in that direction, but not, you know, not letting them fail the task, but at the same time not being too like controlling, too critical.
Sure.
But you know, still trying to get the job done. You know, is there a balance to doing stuff like that?
Having yeah.
That conversation.
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. No. Definitely is guys that want to control, leaders that want to control or micromanage in spiritual things. They're men that don't trust God. That's really what it comes down to. You don't trust God. Or secondly, like you said, rejection or even pride is if they fail, that makes me look bad. Right? And so that's unhealthy. That's incorrect. An incorrect way to approach that. And so, yeah, you've number one, I trust God with men. I get to be part of their calling and destiny. I give instruction and correct things where needed, but at the end of the day, I trust God. And I learned that from my pastor. There's so much that he just delegates. Like when I moved here in 2020, he gave me, you know, my mission if I choose to accept, right? And all the details, and basically gave me really big shoes that did not fit. I'm okay, but he gave them to me. I'm wearing them, but he's trusting God and he's trusting the man. And I have grown into them. They're still quite loose and quite big, but I've grown more into them. And so that's what that looks like. He trusts God, number one, okay? So that's taught me how to work with men and work with disciples. On the other hand, though, again, when it comes back to you, you're taking it personal. What you wind up doing, because you're making me look bad, is you in turn then have that conversation, but in an insulting way,
yeah.
Right? Versus correction for the bigger picture, right? Like, hey, you didn't bring the movie for the movie outreach, you know? So that's not helpful. This is planning and preparation in advance, but you do that privately.
Yeah. And then what just popped in my head also was like, I think how Pastor Greg and yourself, you know, inspired. Instead,
right.
You know, and I was thinking back to like maybe ministry where people are not excited about even, I mean, they're in the ministry, but they're not really like, you know,
Sure.
You know, rolling, flowing, and it's probably a lack of inspiration, I'm guessing, in that situation as well.
Yeah, sometimes it can be a lack of inspiration, or they've just, they're done listening to the tyrant, you know, the dictator. So a lot of different ways that can look, but yeah, cool.
What are some practical things you can do to, like, evaluate or if someone's asking, you can bring truth or help them with where they're at? You know what I mean? Like, you were saying how every person's different and how...
Yeah.
What are some practical things to do to be able to see that and be able to catch on to that?
Well, part of it is relationship. You know, I remember being discipled alongside Pastor Stephen, Pastor Tim, my brother, Pastor Angel, right? This group of men, we were iron that sharpened iron. So we had relationship with each other. We were helping pull each other up. Evangelist J.W., we were pulling each other up. And in pulling each other up, if there was challenges, but on our level of relationship, right? So sometimes you do have an open door to speak the truth because you know each other so well. You would know how to deliver it. The point here for disciples is not to go around, you know, telling everyone the truth, right? You're lazy, you're ugly, you're, you know. So that's not the point of it, but when you have relationship, you have more of an open door, right? And there have been times where I've seen maybe, or people have come and asked me about how do I deal with, or how do I, and I would tell them either, well, that's not your place, leave that with me. Or I've said, I've coached them, you know what? They would be helpful coming from you. You have good relationship with them. This is how I would suggest you say this, right? Or communicate this. So yeah, that's another way you can learn, by asking. Yeah. Good. Dan?
I think it's probably more for a pastor, but like when you don't really know, you don't have that relationship with the person, you know, or maybe you don't realize they're going through a season, is it just, are you picking up that maybe they are going through something by almost that conversational ping pong and how they're responding?
Yeah, yeah. You'll confront the issue by asking questions. And that's something, again, I've learned from my pastor, is he'll sit, but he's listening. Again, people will ask questions, but they're not actually listening to the answer. They're asking him, what's your name? Okay, so, and they just move right, they bulldoze right through it, and they never even got their name. They never took the time to listen and digest it, right? Like, oh, okay, this is Daniel, right? And then they can address them by their first name. They bulldoze through that. But that happens in these types of conversations especially, right? We've talked about in the Introducing Elephant series, you know, when we get into conflict, everything narrows. When we get into hard conversations, sometimes declaring truth is a hard conversation, right? Everything narrows. Our pupils narrow. Our brain shuts down. We have the IQ of a rodent, literally. Like, everything is just not working. And so... that's why you've got to slow down and listen. And so rather than coming in maybe with your frustration and that, right? People are people. Maybe then instead of coming in and only filtering everything through your anger or filtering things through all of their poor decisions that have contributed to maybe people leaving or people dropping out of ministry or destructive in some way, people get hyper-focused on that they're not listening to where it's coming from. And that's a question. So help me understand, where is this coming from? When did this start? Why are you processing it that way? Well, because really I'm stressed because, and that, right, real conversation. I'm just so stressed. I don't know what's going to happen with my husband's health. Okay, so you're really not mad at people in church. You're really not mad at the pastors, right? Really, they were mad at God, and it's just manifesting with people, right? Their fear is driving them to make decisions and do things that are hurting other people. So yeah, we can deal with that, right? We can speak to that. We can pray for them. And I'm telling you, that reference changed everything. They completely altered things. But that came about by asking questions and listening. Yep. Good. Very good. All right. We'll stop there. Thanks, guys. Good questions.